This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Welcome to On the Stand, hosted by two girls, one ginger. It's us. We're back. Happy
this
Thursday.
Isn't On the Stand.
What did I just say?
You said welcome to On the Stand.
We were trying to help Jared brainstorm on the stand.
Wow, I can't believe I just said that and did not.
You just
think
bulldozed right over it too.
Wow. Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. Whew.
Honestly, this might as well just be an On the Stand podcast because of all the polarizing on the stands.
We've got a lot of things to talk about.
We always do have things to talk about. Right now, Alexis and I are wearing matching jumpsuits. If you're watching us on Patreon, you would see that.
Honestly, these jumpsuits are my favorite thing at looking polished, but dressing in your jammies, it's a win-win.
You guys look great.
Comfy. It's a little warm.
Comfy.
Summer's coming faster than expected.
The studio's getting a little toasty.
I feel great.
You run like a little ice age creature.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You like crawled out of a volcano.
I need it to
land
be blasting hot at all times.
Totally.
Please. How are we doing today? How are we feeling? We're having some champs.
I'm feeling good now.
You know, we just took a walk to the convenience store. We got
some convenient items.
Snacked up.
We're snacked up.
We're feeling fulfilled.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
We're ready to go. Before we start, obviously, we got to plug in the Patreon. I already did a little bit. But if you want bonus content, you're getting one new full true crime episode a week on Patreon.
That is 4 episodes per month. Episodes we pour our heart and souls into. We write them ourselves. We do them ourselves. We get to talk about the case is a little more, it's a different experience in a good way.
Very conversational. Yeah. I always like to say it's like a combo of Killing Time and regular First Degree.
Yep.
Totally. And we take the subject obviously really seriously and the research is stellar, but we get to pick cases, which we don't get to do in our traditional First Degree format. So if you're here for that, thank you. Tell your friends, invite others. Plus, we're going to bring back more 2- and 3-parters. And if you're on Patreon, you're going to get them all at the same time and you won't have to wait until the following week for the second part. So that's another perk too.
Exactly. If you love to binge.
Now we're talking.
Yes. Now we are talking.
Now we're talking.
Mm, all right. Moving and grooving.
Do we want to get into the day today?
Yes.
It is May 4th.
May it be with you.
And we will get into that. We will get into that.
Oh, we will we?
We will.
Well, and tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo. Ooh. I hope you're having a marg tomorrow. But today, May 4th, we're going to start from the beginning and we will end where we all are thinking. So, May 4th, 1929, actually, it's not a dark day, but it is Audrey Hepburn's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday,
gosh.
Audrey.
Well, she's dead, but it was her birthday.
I know.
She's an incredible activist, actress. Love me some Audrey Hepburn.
Yes. Also, it is Alice in Wonderland's fictional birthday.
One of my favorite fictional stories.
I did not know that she had like a real birthday, but Alice was born on May 4th.
Huh.
And then also May 4th, 1990, the electric chair malfunctions in Florida, leading states to change execution methods. So we have had an entire episode of Killing Time that we've dedicated to botched executions. Mm-hmm. But I thought that this one was kind of interesting. So I'll give you like a little summary of what happened.
I'd love to know more.
So there's this guy, Jesse Tefero. He was executed in Florida, but his electric chair malfunctions 3 times.
Oh my God.
Causing flames to leap from his head. Like something out of a fucking movie.
It's so awful. They never should, you know, it's horrible.
Horrible.
For the people witnessing, for him, for his family, like that is terrible.
It's horrific.
So it said that case in particular led the new debate on humane methods of execution, and several states ceased to use the electric chair and adopted lethal injection as their means of capital punishment after that. Because, I mean, after the episode that we did, it was probably 2 months ago. The way that these executions can be botched is so nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, you know, we even did the a first degree episode on Jeff Wood. And he was led to the execution chamber. His family said goodbye.
Oh my God,
and then there was
yeah.
a stay of execution. And then he was given a new date and then led there in the stay. And I just think that that psychological abuse is also just disgusting. I just think it's not our system is not.
Well, that case specifically, it felt never ending. Like it yeah. just kept happening.
Well, and he
happening.
Didn't, you know, that case is very nuanced and yeah. he shouldn't be on death row. And a lot of people shouldn't. And you think, if someone like him was innocent, imagine right. going through something like that. I'm not saying he was innocent,
yeah.
but some people who go to death row are. And yeah. like yeah. thinking of them going through that just, you know, breaks your heart.
It's, for sure.
It's absolutely crazy. So on a lighter note, we're going to get back into what we all want to talk about. Mm-hmm. May the 4th be with you.
Mm. Yeah, now we're talking.
Star Wars Day.
Love Star Wars.
Oh my
Need
God.
The perfect ginger for the job.
Yes.
Because I know nothing about it.
Oh, I will. I know enough for all of us.
Jared, I know. Give us like, get, what are your thoughts on, like, just the floor is yours.
You want me to talk? Well, the current state of Star Wars, I don't want to get into that because that's its own. I
Jared
have my
doesn't
own
like
podcast.
Where Star Wars is headed.
We're doing a lot of weird stuff. It's all Disney. You know,
I saw like a Jude Law
together.
Thing today.
Jude Law.
Yeah.
GMA. I think he's in Star
Jude
Wars.
Jude Law is going to be in a
he was,
Star Wars
He was doing press today for Hook. Because he's Captain
oh.
Hook in the
oh,
new Hook.
Really?
And
they're,
in Star Wars?
They're rebooting Hook?
I think.
That's a classic.
I think he's in
the
it.
Reboots. Dude.
I mean, I know Melissa McCarthy's Ursula.
Oh, I like that.
There was a whole media tour this morning and Jude Law was there. So don't quote me. Maybe he wasn't Hook, but he's in the movie.
Okay.
Interesting.
I think he's Hook.
Jared doesn't like where Star Wars is today, but he is a Star Wars super fan.
Good recap.
That's about it.
In summary.
What do you do on Star Wars Day? Like, have you celebrated it in the past? What do you do to celebrate?
So I have, I struggle with my, like, Star Wars, like, my true identity in Star Wars, like, fandom, because I love it so much, but I'm not, like, I couldn't win, like, a trivia night.
Right.
It just makes me feel really good. Whether that's nostalgia, I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
They're giving Carrie Fisher a star on May 4th.
Are they?
On the Hollywood
I actually,
Walk.
You know what? I did read that.
Yeah.
This morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
oh,
nice.
That's so fitting. That's awesome. Yeah. I love Carrie so much.
Mm-hmm. I paid attention to GMA.
There you go.
Alexis does get her pop culture
hey,
every morning.
Keeps me very relevant.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I grew up with Star Wars, so mm-hmm. it's like one of my favorite things in the world.
Have you, like, do you dress up? Do you watch?
I did dress up for the final movie, that like big production movie that came out somewhat recently.
What did you dress up as? Han Solo?
I went as Chewbacca. I had a onesie.
Oh my God.
Of course you did.
Yeah. So it was me and my sister and like, she's like a dork like I am. So we went and saw it together. And it was really fun. Like opening night.
What did she dress as?
She had a Darth Vader onesie.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
That's cute. I tried to watch Mandalorian. I watched a couple episodes.
Yeah?
And with you. You say that like you're surprised.
I just don't know if you're actually watching.
Well, they have really cute little characters.
She likes. Huh? Okay. So there's a little character named Babu Frick. And he's like this tall. And then like you've seen Baby Yoda, right?
Of course.
Grogu. So he's like, you know, the same height. But he meets this little guy and he's like obsessed with him and he like won't leave him alone. But like the little guy, Babu Frick, is like an adult. So he's like, get off me, kid, kind yeah. of a thing. But he's like this big.
They're
but
just he's like, teeny tiny, so the kid likes it.
He's super
all
cute.
Of the characters on that, they're like all, because they're all like fucked up and weird.
They're like ugly little reptiles and fish like Jack loves.
Yeah. Like
she loves amphibious looking
yeah.
aliens.
And one Blobbies. Thing that's cool is they're doing a lot of like puppets for a lot of the newer stuff even. So it feels very kind of like
cutesy.
Jim Henson's sort of vibe.
I went to the Jim Henson Museum
oh.
in New Orleans.
Really?
Oh.
I was with you guys.
Did I? Don't remember.
I don't think I went.
I didn't go with you, but we were on the same trip.
It's weird that you'd break off and go do that without me.
Well,
we're at the bar. Alexis is like, I got something to do.
I went to the Jim Henson Museum without you. That is true.
You finally admit it.
That's where you,
we
were,
wondered where you were
on Saturday for those 2 hours.
I'm serious, though.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, that bums me out because I would have loved to go.
What did you see there?
All the puppets that you can imagine.
Ooh. Yeah.
All of Jim Henson, the making process. Yeah. Little. Wow. It was quite
it was
a robust
just a
spectacle.
Museum. It was a magical time, especially when those first Star Wars came out, because it was all practical effects. So it was all very, the way that they were doing things is so cool. And it's cool to see them doing it now. So. That's all I'll say.
So the first recorded reference of May the 4th be with you, I found. So it was used on May 4th, 1979. So I guess Star Wars came out in 1977, I think.
75 or 77?
So it was like, I think it was 77.
Again, I told you I wouldn't win trivia.
You don't, yeah. So it was recent to 1979 when this happened. And it said the day after Margaret Thatcher was elected as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and her political party, the Conservatives, placed a congratulatory advertisement in the London Evening News saying, "May the 4th be with you, Maggie. Congratulations."
What a witty lady.
So she must have been a Star Wars fan.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. And then, you know, it turned into a thing after that. But that was like one of the first recorded documented times of "May the 4th be with you."
Oh,
I love that.
And it's just turned into a whole thing. Like, I know they do like the Star Wars celebration is like a convention that they do now. I don't know if they do it on the 4th, but
yeah,
around. I mean,
well, it's Star Wars Day. It's like, yeah. Star Wars. I mean, it's like a national holiday.
Today is a day we're celebrating together.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy it fell on this day.
Me too.
But what I wanted to talk about, and we actually mentioned this kind of in a podcast recently, is the quote, "Luke, I am your father."
Oh, yeah.
And how that is a misquote.
It is indeed a misquote.
So what is the original quote
for that?
It's,
"No, I am your father."
And everybody, like, "Luke, I am your father" is like, but ingrained in people's minds.
What is he saying no to? What was the line before?
Luke is basically
staring at him. The mask comes off.
Yeah.
Or it's about to.
He basically.
What's next?
And then he says, no.
And then what?
So.
I am.
He. Essentially, I recalling the scene is a little hazy because I always am looking for that pop culture quote, and it's not there.
And you're getting like a dopamine hit because you're watching your favorite movie, so yes, it's hard to remember.
Of course, I'm too overwhelmed, and I'm like a golden retriever.
You basically can't remember anything.
And
that
I'm
happened.
Like, here it comes, and then I just black out and miss it. Yeah.
Exactly.
He. They're basically going back and forth, and he's like, "I hate you, I hate you. Like, you're the worst." Blah blah blah, kind of a thing.
Jeez.
And then he's like, I forget what Luke's. I honestly don't remember
Luke's
line before.
"Darth, I want to punch you. I wish you were dead."
Whatever he says, the answer to it.
That's what I would say if I was mad at my dad.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He doesn't know it's his dad yet.
"I want to punch you. I wish you were dead."
"No, I am your father."
Yes. Basically, he was
"Bow
like,
down, bitch."
Right?
Yeah.
Well, because Luke's whole life, this has been kept from him. So Obi-Wan keeps Luke safe.
From
who did Luke think his father
was? From his childhood trauma?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, so Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader. That's Luke's dad, Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
So.
But who did Luke
think
his dad was?
Why don't they name anyone Anakin anymore?
Anakin's a good name.
I go with Anakin for a
right
girl.
Right on the list.
I'm not enough of a Star Wars fan to
Anakin
really.
Anakin is cool, though.
Anakin's a cool name.
No, that's. No, Annie, not for me.
Annie.
No.
Okay, anyways.
DeVito.
I've been DeVito'd. Anyways, it's a whole
wait,
long...
Wait, just tell me, who did Luke think his father was?
Well, he was raised...
Probably Jabba the Hutt.
He was raised... he was raised by a family on Tatooine.
Is a planet?
Who were... While they were raising Luke, he's being overseen by Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi staying on the outside, the fringe, keeping an eye on Luke to make sure that he's safe.
Who's Luke's mother? Princess Leia?
No, that's his sister.
Who's his mom?
Search your heart.
Jabba the Hutt.
Am I supposed to know?
It's Padme.
Why the fuck would I know who Padme is?
Natalie Portman?
I don't watch the movies.
You didn't watch the...
Natalie Portman was born in 1977.
No, so... this is going to be fucking crazy and hard to explain.
Okay. No, we got to... I don't need to know. This is getting way too in the weeds.
Too inside baseball.
No, okay. Way too inside baseball.
But you said it came out in 1977. Natalie Portman is only a year or two older than me. So I don't think she was in that one.
Well, it's probably one of those movies that went back in time, like a prequel.
Doesn't work for me.
Oh, this
anyways,
is fucking
Jared,
hopeless.
Sorry.
May the 4th be with you was a mistake. Let's
it
move
was
on.
A mistake. The reason why I wanted to bring that up is because it was a misquote, and we talked about this the other week, that we're going to dive into some misquotes, famous misquotes throughout history that I think is really, really interesting. So we're going to do that.
You got the moon landing in there?
Yes.
Yes.
I knew it.
Okay. we'll be back for that, but before then we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right. Welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either loving it, we're hating it. We have a healthy debate. Vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to you on Instagram. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty. And sometimes we have an On the Stand from a listener. Do we have one today?
We do.
Ooh.
All right.
Do you want to start with that? Or
yes.
Do you want to do ours first?
Let's do it last. Let's start with ours.
Let's do it last.
Oh, okay.
No? You want to do it first?
No, that's fine. I just was saying a
word. You seem disappointed.
He doesn't
really
care.
I just figured I should pick something.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe Jared should go last.
I could go last.
Okay. Let's start with the listener.
Okay. Let's start with the listener. I feel like he needs some inspiration.
I'm not buying time.
That could be why.
No.
Hey, team. Just want to place an honest stand at this moment. And it has to do with people that spell your name wrong on Teams or in emails, even though your correct spelling is right there in front of their fucking faces. I have one person I work with on the regular that's always spelling my name is Sherry. It's S-H-E-R-R-I-E. They spell it S-H-E-R-R-Y. Constantly. Even trying to at me on, or sorry, apparently he didn't at me because it didn't show up as my at, but still, like, team, come on, people. It's correct in front of you. Spell it right. And I'm sure there's a plethora of people in the world that would understand this. But yeah, that's my on the stand. Spelling your name wrong when it's on the email, in Teams, any type of thing that the correct spelling is right in front of your face already. Cheers.
So I see both sides of this. As someone who has made the mistake, I always correct it with a follow-up email.
Yeah.
Which is so embarrassing because you have to CC everyone.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to think, you don't want their coworkers to think that you don't know their name. So I've definitely been the person to do this, and I only do it when I have a friend who has the same name who spells it a different mm-hmm. way. So it's like, I obviously know the name and I did it right. But there are more egregious situations. As someone named Alexis, I get Alex a lot. I get Alexa a lot. I get Alexandra a lot. Mm-hmm. I get Alexi a lot. And that's irritating because that's not even the name.
Yeah.
I'll take it because they're not bad names. Mm-hmm. I like all those names.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. It's super annoying. We have a friend. I always see Bryn.
Bryn and Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a friend named Bryn who gets Brian a lot.
All of the time.
She's not thrilled with that.
I mean, as somebody who also does spell their name differently and gets a misspelling all of the time.
You get a Q a lot. J-A-Q.
J-A-K is my least favorite. It's like yak.
Like yak with a J.
Yak. It's
yak.
I kind of like the Q. Matt, when he first met you, and my dad also thought your name was Jacques. With yeah. a Q for
well, a while. I get that sometimes from people that haven't like met me in person.
But Matt thought your name was Jack with a Q when he first like met you, when you first started dating. And I was like, that's kind of cute. It seems Frenchy. I didn't hate it. K, no.
No.
Yeah.
But because my name is like that, I go above and beyond when I'm in emails to make sure that I am spelling the person's name right, because I freaking hate it.
Yeah.
Like, huge pet peeve of mine.
Did you know that there are 500 different ways to spell Jared?
That doesn't surprise me at all.
There's not, but it would feel that
well,
way.
Well, you're talking about Starbucks orders.
No, I'm just saying, like, people get it. There's so many different ways to spell it.
It is crazy because Jared spells
his
name.
A lot of times with a T. I went to high school with
Jared
with a D, with a T.
I've seen
with
it like
two
this.
R's.
J A R E D, which is me.
But Jared.
Gerard.
The way that Jared spells his name is the most common way to spell Jared.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
yeah. And it's phonetic.
The most basic way you could spell Jared.
Because my parents are decent people and they spelled it correctly.
They're not sick fucks like the rest of the
There's only one
Jareds.
Way to do it. Sorry, Jareds.
Yes. Gerard.
No, the most nuanced name that I've ever seen is Jeff.
Jeff.
There's a
G-E-O-F-F. Yes.
And I'm like, nope. That's not
Jeff. That says G off, by the way.
No, I don't like, I don't
and
trust
I like,
a Jeff spell like that.
It was too, that's a traumatizing thing. When I was like, that's the word Jeff?
When
yeah,
I read
I don't
it,
like it,
I say in my head, G off.
G off.
I'm not going to say it to your face, but that's what I'm thinking
Same.
About.
Same.
Geoffrey.
G off.
No, Joffrey like Bean.
Geoffrey.
Geoffrey.
Not for me.
Anyways. This is guilty, by the way.
It's
super
guilty.
If the name is spelled right there, you got to say it right.
Well, it's like, I think it's the most decent thing you can do if you're working with somebody to spell their fucking name right. Like,
I agree.
If you want somebody to treat you seriously, especially if you're like emailing a higher up or you're trying to get a business deal. And that girl, her, the, her coworker that she works with all of the time.
It's rude.
It's rude. Well, it's like rude. Now it seems like
you're
it's on
allowed
purpose.
To make that mistake once when you first meet someone. You're not allowed to do it. Yeah. It's disrespectful.
It is disrespectful,
especially if you work with these people on an ongoing basis. We work in like freelancy worlds where we don't encounter the same people all the time. It's still rude to do it. Don't do it then.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more. It's a lot more understandable if you're working with someone on a long-term basis and they can't get your fucking name right. Fuck them.
Yeah, absolutely. Guilty. Yeah,
guilty.
All right, I'll go first.
Great.
I'm putting naps on the stand.
Ooh.
And I love how I found this out because I have a new on the stand note on my phone because like we have to write them down because we'll forget. Alexis literally had one and forgot it 2 minutes later before we started recording this.
I might have forgotten it again.
So we were talking this. We were talking, I think, yesterday because we recorded an episode of First Degree and you were talking about how you did a boat day with Matt and you guys took a 5-hour nap. And this
maybe
came
the first of my life
that this came as a shock because Alexis and I always talk about how we
five.
Do, yes.
Maybe like four.
That's
but like
just sleeping
multiple over, hours.
It was like the longest nap I've ever had. And it was incredible. And it's because the ocean rocks you.
Yeah.
I don't think we call it a nap. I think we just call it going
we
to
went
bed.
To sleep.
Yeah.
midday sleep. But we that was shocking to me because we talk about how we can't nap. Like I've never
very
successfully
rare.
Napped
you
in my
told
life.
Me you napped kind of recently.
Did I?
Yes, you said that you fell asleep for like an hour. Or
oh, somewhere. No, no, no. I don't. When I nap, like I nap on the couch sometimes mm-hmm. when I'm like on my period or.
But your eyes are closed, but you're awake.
I'm awake. And the amount I'm actually sleeping might be 10 minutes.
You're resting.
Jack will go, I'm taking a nap. And then I turn around 5 minutes later to see.
She's her. On her phone.
She's laying down and looks asleep, but her phone is right here. And she's
I can't nap. Like can't. It's just a rest.
I'm telling you, it was a fluke for me.
It's crazy. But I am so jealous of people that can nap. Like it really blows my mind.
Me too, because I mean I can nap if I'm like dog tired, but the thing I hate about a nap is when I wake up, that feeling of like how much time has passed before I look
and
at my watch or my
it
phone.
Feels.
It feels great, but the panic sets in when I'm like, is it 2 a.m.? Like did I blow it?
Fuck up my entire sleep.
I used to do those in high school. I would take a nap and I'd fall asleep to like 7. I thought
really?
It was the next morning.
Oh my God.
I think it's really bad for me personally to take a nap as we're going from light to dark outside.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I can't span that gap with a nap. If I do that, I'm in big trouble.
I think that everybody is pretty screwed.
I'm telling you, though, no one's better at napping than Matt. Matt can take naps. He's asleep. I literally, there's no words spoken for like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And he's asleep.
He's asleep.
Okay. That's insane.
He can fall asleep. He can literally lay down and be like, I'm taking a nap. And he's asleep in 45 seconds. I've never seen anything like
how
it in my
life. How
is
that like?
Midday,
God,
I can't do
nice
that. I wish I could.
He must just be tired a lot.
It's probably a sleep apnea.
Yeah, but he's just, has a machine.
He's just a sleepy boy.
Yeah, he's a sleepy boy.
There's
yeah.
probably still some missing oxygen up
you're
in that brain.
You're getting some oxygen, babe. Don't you worry. I'm watching to make sure you're breathing at night.
Which, by the
Lord knows I'm not sleeping.
No, I'm not sleeping either. Which, by the way, I get up way before Jared does. And this morning, he was sleeping.
You sleep in?
No, I mean, I get up at like 6.
I get up
wait,
really
is that a problem?
30. No, he sleeps till like 8:30.
What?
Yeah.
I know, it's insane.
It's like our group chat is going off at like 6.
Yeah.
I normally, I'm like eyes open at 8:20, and then I do I do a little roll around for like 30 minutes.
A toss around by yeah. himself. But anyways, my point of this is he was sleeping, and this man was in the craziest REM sleep of his life. Your eyeballs were moving
when?
Around like this morning.
Oh, shit.
Your eyeballs were moving around like crazy underneath your eyelids. Like, you know, you could see it moving
oh,
around.
Yeah.
I was like, you were in some
were
sort
in
of
dream?
A crazy dream.
Yeah, I was doing karate.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So like I don't know. I do karate in my dreams often.
Because you wish you could do it better. No.
Yeah. Because
I'm good at your nunchucks.
I'm working
he's
on
okay.
it. I'm working on it. I'll get there.
Sure.
This morning,
practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
This morning it was karate, and I remember.
Really?
Very, oh yeah. I
that's
was
probably
sparring.
Why, because you're like looking around for all the people you're gonna like try
it's
to beat
like,
their asses.
If you've ever seen The Matrix, it's like where they plug Neo into the thing, and he's like, "I know karate."
Yeah,
after
yeah.
He
yeah.
comes out. That was me. This
wow. Yeah, I was like, I tried to take a video of it because I was like, it looked like something crazy was going on.
I'm amazed.
I was just whooping ass in my dreams. You
whooping
know?
Ass.
Right, so I say naps, not guilty if you can take them.
I'm not guilty. I'm
not
just
guilty.
Jealous.
I'm just super jealous that I'm not taking my own naps.
I'm jealous too, to be honest.
Lex.
For my on the stand? All right, I got one for you.
The one I was going to talk about? Yeah.
Do you have one?
No.
Oh, I have
or
one.
I do, but you go first.
Okay, so mine is something Jack and I were talking about today. We mentioned that I love GMA. That's where I get my pop culture. We're GMA is early, but what comes on next at 9 a.m. is Live with Kelly and Ryan.
Oh, yes.
Until recently, it's Live with Kelly and Mark. And as we were discussing this new shift of hosts, Jack, Jared, and I were also discussing Love is Blind and their host selection, which is a husband and wife team. And I think any family unit hosting a show together, that's like many, 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 many episodes. I think Donnie and Marie Osmond also, I'm going to put them on the stand too.
Yeah.
Any family unit like that hosting a TV show where viewers are tuning in and looking for some chemistry, it's not for me. I don't think podcasts really apply.
I was going to say, no. I'm glad you're here because that would just leave us
that's why
two.
You gave me that look. But I was like, what are you looking at me for?
I agree that podcasts don't apply because I've heard a ton of, there's a ton of comedy ones too with a, who is it? It doesn't matter. The point is
like
that
Tom Segura and his wife.
Exactly.
And,
they're hysterically
they're
funny.
They're so funny.
Their show, Your Mom's House by Tom Segura. It's they're a married couple and they
it's
kill
so
it.
Goddamn
podcasts
funny.
Don't seem to apply to this rule.
Well, because podcasts are long form. We're talking about like short form, snappy TV. Interviews, like different segments, like podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm not loving the Kelly and Mark and I'm not loving Nick and Vanessa.
Well, I just don't like no matter what and no matter how professional you are. I don't need to have your tension on the TV, whether that be sexual tension between the two of you or like allegedly
irritated.
Allegedly Nick Lachey, Nick and Vanessa Lachey got in a fight right before Love is Blind started filming and she was being so bizarre as a host. And people are like, I wonder if that's why. It's like that wouldn't happen if they weren't married, like and they were two professional hosts. Like it brings this element of like intimacy that I don't really need as a host.
Well, and I just think like if you have to be if you're going to be on such a massive platform, I just think you can really lend some like you can really help someone out if they're not your partner. Like I just think sometimes your partner is the last person who's supposed to be in your like professional sort of like chemistry with. I just think it's a mistake in general
unless it's your thing unless you started with that the problem with that is he replaced Ryan Seacrest so the dynamic was just like two hosts like two professional
who
hosts.
Really good friends who would like hold hands and Kelly would like I just really love their dynamic and I'm not hating on I love Kelly Ripa and I love Mark Consuelos and I love Vanessa Lachey and I love Nick Lachey. I think they should swap. Let's try Nick Lachey.
All right.
On GMA.
Oh, a solution.
Let's try Mark Consuelos in Love is Blind.
I love
to
this.
To be honest.
We have a solution.
It could work.
Honestly, that would kind of work.
I didn't know that we were going solution-based with this, but
I didn't either.
That's not guilty.
I don't hate
not
that.
Not guilty.
Honestly, I'm kind of into that.
Let's swap it out.
I love it.
What do you have to say about hosts that are dating?
You know, to be honest, I just don't think it works out very well. You know, after doing how many episodes of this with you guys, like... I don't know.
And I'm like your boss.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's weird because I like, you know.
I love it.
Can't seem to get away from you. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I keep hoping to get adopted and it hasn't happened.
It's happening soon.
Well, we have to, once we get the marriage license figured out, then we can go through.
Then we need a child.
Be a witness.
You want it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You can.
Easy. Oh, my God.
Cool.
Guilty.
Sorry, I didn't mean to yell.
I'm going to say guilty.
Guilty.
Big guilty.
All right. For mine.
Your turn, Jared.
I'm here to defend. So I feel like I had my back on the ropes for a minute there. I'm here to defend my night owl behavior.
Ooh.
So being a night owl is going on the stand today.
Okay.
I feel like I'm my most productive after 7 or 8 p.m.
Really?
My crazy brain to me. Kicks into overdrive when I realize that the world is starting to like
wind down.
That is so interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what I think from an early age, I always was kind of like, I was nervous to go to bed because I felt like I was like wasting valuable hours of my life.
Well, and then you have to think sleeping. About all the scary thoughts.
Oh yeah, yeah, well that's spooky.
The horrors.
Who wants the horrors in their life? But yeah, I just I like it because I think it's a bit polarizing, and I think that there's definitely people who agree with me on this. But you know, because I think for me, especially lately, there's all these like the Tim Ferriss podcast and all this shit that's out that people are like, "What's your secret to success?" And everyone's like, "Well, I wake up at 4 a.m. and then I hit the gym and I work out for 2 hours and then I do an ice bath and then I do this and then I do an ice bath.
It's awful. Like,
that awful. Works for some people, but
no,
for me,
baths.
It would be so funny. I feel like if I ever had the chance to go on one of those, because I'd be
an
like, I'd be like, you know, 7 p.m. rolls around and I'm like, all right, let's pull up like a project. I got to get some edits done for tomorrow. And then I feel like I hit flow state by like later on at night. I don't know why.
Well, I've seen this thing. It was probably on TikTok, to be honest. I didn't read an article. I'm sure it was a TikTok. But anyways, it was talking about like the stereotype that we have for early risers. It's like, if you're an early riser, you're on top of your shit, you're productive, like you are what everybody is looking to be. But why is a late, like somebody that's like a night owl or somebody that's productive at night looked down upon if you're still being as productive and as creative and whatever? Like,
what if you're both? Then I'm an early riser and
a night owl.
I laugh at our group chat sometimes where I text them at like 2:30 or like 1 or something, and then also at like 7.
I and to be fair, I don't sleep long.
I don't sleep long.
Like
either.
I'm like a 6.5 to 7 hour sleep cycle.
I'm a
sleep
6
cycle.
Hour gal.
Yeah. So, and like I've read that it's taking years off my life. I don't know if that's true or not.
So. You're supposed to have 8.
I know you're supposed
to have
8, but like,
let's see who lives longer.
Like, men just die sooner. Yeah. So that I don't know how we're gonna prove. We'll see with me and Jack.
Yeah.
We'll shave. I'm 1 year old. I'm like 8 months older, so we'll have to negate that, but we'll see who lives longer.
It's definitely just going to be based on how many hours a night we sleep. I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yep. No other factors.
No other factors whatsoever.
Yeah.
No, so, I think that people look down upon, you know, people that rise and
sleep. Well,
I
think it has
late.
Something to do with how society put, especially American society, put so much importance on
hustle culture.
Hustle culture, and like how you always have
get
to
up
be working.
At 3 a.m. and get in the gym.
Yeah, no time off, no breaks. Like when you're sleeping, they're grinding. That whole thing. It's like I don't think that that
I've
retired
is that. Yeah, fuck that.
But that goes hand in hand with thinking that people who wake up early are just by default more successful.
No, we're just more anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
we're
true.
We're just wake with the sun because we're in pain.
Yeah, I wake up and I'm like, stressing out about shit. I'm like, I can't go to bed. So, I'll say not guilty. That's
just not guilty.
I just want to defend myself a little bit, you know?
No, not guilty. Totally.
All right. Well, when we come back, it's time for some true crime rewind.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, Lex, we're going to start with the moon landing for misquotes that we have heard wrong our entire lives.
I'm excited about this.
Okay, so the quote is...
This is what I think it is and what I think the real quote is.
Okay.
This is one small step for man and a giant leap for mankind. And yes. I believe the correct quote is, this is one small step for a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the correct...
For a man?
Yeah, one giant leap for mankind. So it like... It ended up getting like fuzzy
because of the radio.
Yeah. When Neil Armstrong was saying it. So he said, that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, which makes so much more sense.
Way more sense, because how is this one small step for man?
Man and mankind
is
the same thing.
The same.
But like, does it change the entire thing?
And it is more profound sounding.
Yes.
But it makes less sense.
When the latter part
is such
of-
a weak. The word is so weak.
But
like, that man.
But I think, but that's what makes it good, because it is. He was literally taking one small step, and
like,
it,
I'm just but a man.
But it was a giant leap for man. I think that is profound.
I agree, but because it was misconstrued, it's forever changed, and now we sound wrong. Even that's what he meant.
Well, I thought that he ended up putting two different he forgot what he was going to say.
No, I think it was just shitty technology.
One
it stole
small
his
step.
Moment.
For a wee lad.
For a little guy.
For a little beep boop.
For a little beep boop
me.
Like
he
me.
He just said, one small step for little old me.
A giant leap for this.
For a little boy.
A giant leap for all of us.
A little boy.
A little boy.
A little boy.
Wait, you hate when men call themselves boys. One small step for a boy. Like
a little lad. I like little lad.
What if he got out and was like, it's spooky out here.
It
it's
is
like, I don't like this.
It is fucking spooky up there. Are you
hella
kidding me?
Spooky.
Fuck that.
No, thank you.
Okay, so the next one is a quote from Gandhi.
Ooh.
Be the change you wish to see in the world. I think we all know that quote from Gandhi.
That's not right.
No, it actually.
That's incorrect.
He actually said nothing like that.
I thought that was Marilyn Monroe.
Okay, no.
Just,
no. No, we're going to Marilyn Monroe.
Eleanor Roosevelt?
No.
I'm just saying people always plaster dumb idiot, like, Abraham Lincoln, Marilyn Monroe photos.
No, but there is actually, I have a Marilyn Monroe section.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
So be the change you wish to see in the world. It's plastered everywhere and it's attributed to Gandhi all of the time. Nobody else said that. So it wasn't like a quote that was directed at him.
Misquoted.
But his quote is, as a man changes his own nature, so does the attitude of the world change towards him. We need not wait to see what others do. And so somebody took that and was like, you know what sounds better?
Yeah.
Is be the change you wish to see in the world.
Honestly, whoever did that, they are like a genius. Poet.
Even he was probably like, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gandhi's like, thank you.
So that happened a few times with some of these quotes. It's like somebody else kind of like made it up.
And they're like, here's what Gandhi was trying to say.
Yeah. Here's what he meant.
He was like, do I ramble?
Yes, Gandhi.
Okay. So the next one is the quote, curiosity killed the cat. We all know that one.
Use it.
So what does curiosity kill the cat mean?
It means if you go poking around, you're going to get burned.
Exactly. Fuck around and find out.
Fuck around and find out. So that's not the full quote.
What?
The quote is, curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back. So that means, it says, so in the end, we found out that the cat is still alive. And for us, that means our lives aren't doomed just because of our curiosity.
That means if you go poking around and you find some good shit, it hurts for a second, but then it's worth it.
Yeah, around and you're going to find out some good shit.
And maybe the world will also find out.
Yeah. That's right.
And the world, that's satisfying.
They will find out.
They will find out.
Good. I'm going to live that quote.
Yep.
Okay, so the next one is the quote, blood is thicker than water. Do you know this is a misquote?
It's a family sort of thing.
So yeah, explain what that means. Blood is thicker than water.
It's that I care more about my family than anybody else.
Family
it's
over like, friends.
It's very Vin Diesel
family,
of them.
Yeah, it's very Fast and Furious. Yep. So that's not the full quote either. The full quote is, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. So this means that bloodshed amongst soldiers back in the day holds a stronger bond than simple genetics. So it's literally the opposite.
Easy to say when you're ripping 18-year-olds away from their mothers and setting them out.
Honestly, that sounds like some
brainwashing.
That sounds like some brainwashy shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like, hey, let's hand like some children some rifles and make them think this is better than their families.
Hey, blood is thicker than water.
Yep. You don't even fucking know who your dad is because we ripped you away when you're 2 years old. That's actually very interesting.
They love.
I might be totally wrong about it, but that's what it sounds like to me.
No, I mean, that's pretty much true.
Yeah.
So the next one is, George Washington, I cannot tell a lie.
Yes.
Yeah, he like, it's like the famous
thing.
Yeah,
like Pinocchio.
I thought it was Honest Abe.
No, George Washington.
And Abe are both honest.
George Washington's whole thing, well, Honest Abe for sure, but like, I think that is a George Washington. Like,
George Washington, it's like he got a hatchet as a gift and he chopped down his father's cherry tree.
Which was a lie, right?
When his father came and was like, did you fucking do this? He was like, I cannot tell a lie. I cut down your cherry tree. And then his father was like, oh my God, you're so honest. Like, you're such an amazing person.
Why did he do it?
Because he was just being a kid, a rambunctious little kid. He did it when he was a kid.
You didn't run around cutting down trees when you were a kid?
Well, he was probably just, you know.
I made other misdeeds.
So. Yeah.
For sure.
So, George Washington never did this.
Yeah.
No, he
sounds
didn't.
Sounds like a lie.
He didn't do any of it.
He didn't do it and he didn't say it.
He didn't do it, didn't
the
say
anecdote
it.
Anecdote sounds sketch from the beginning,
it
to
seems
be
way too specific. But anyways.
Sounds like something Abraham Lincoln would do, to be honest.
After he died, George Washington died, there was a biographer that was like trying to write his life story and he was trying to like find really
confirm
interesting tidbits about him. No, the biographer just made the whole thing up. He made the entire story up and it became like one of the most, you know, important, you know, tales,
anecdotes.
He was just trying to
find and find out. Yeah.
He was just trying to hit 20,000 words.
You know, and honestly, if he was a biographer in Oprah times, she would have him on the show and call him out on his lies. Yeah.
That's right.
I want that guy to do mine though.
Like James Frey.
It'd be like,
she called James Frey out.
Oh, the tiny, yeah, million little
that.
Tiny pieces.
Million
or
tiny
whatever.
Pieces.
Yeah. I love that.
She put him on his book list and it blew up. I read it. It was one of the first books I read that was like an adult book. And I was like, that's a lie.
I want an untrustworthy biographer.
How did she?
Yeah.
People just fact checked and he told this crazy story about getting like a root canal without painkillers and it was a total lie.
My mom says that all the time.
Says what?
She's like, no meds for me. I'm going to the dentist.
Yeah, she's like,
good thing you're an adult, Jared.
Yeah,
I know. You'd be going to the dentist.
No, none for me.
None for me, please. Okay, so the last thing I'm going to talk about is some Marilyn Monroe quotes.
Ooh.
So you know the one, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Yeah.
Not Marilyn Monroe.
Who says it? Eleanor Roosevelt?
No, I don't know. I don't know if they ever even figured out. And then the other one is well-behaved women rarely make history. Huge, massive
quote.
That
was like Coco Chanel or something.
No, it's been attributed to Marilyn Monroe, but it really was this lady named Laurel Thatcher, Ulrich, that was a student at New Hampshire University.
Poor Laurel. They read her
name. They read her name and they were like Marilyn Monroe said this.
If we put this with a cleavage picture of Marilyn, this will go viral.
Yep. And it did. It was smart. It was probably fucking George Washington's biographer. That guy knew what he was doing.
I want that guy.
I know.
Do mine, well, if I ever have that privilege. Yeah. Be like, he was 6'8" and he was, you know, whatever.
He's 6'8" and beefy, super beefy.
And really smart.
And the biggest rock star of our generation. Well, those are your misquotes. I thought that they're
good.
So interesting. A couple wrinkles for the brain. You know, sometimes you got to learn something.
Much smarter.
I had a blast.
Well, we're going to figure out what bad things you people did next.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey everyone, it's time to find out how naughty you are.
Naughty.
Let's get right into the nitty-gritty of that.
Here we go.
I don't have my phone, so Jared is going to pull up.
I got it. I'm on it. In 3, 2, 1.
Play.
Hi, you are asking for the worst things we have ever done. And I have to say that mine was when I was about 22 years old or so. I was going through a period of life where I was trying to stand up for myself more and be a bit more assertive. And I was attempting to board a Frontier Airlines flight from Indianapolis to Salt Lake City. And I hadn't even made it through security. I was still at the ticket agent desk. And the Frontier Airlines ticket agent wanted to charge me $25 to carry my backpack, my only item, onto the plane with me, my one personal item, no other luggage. And I began to question this policy and try to explain that I had never been charged to carry one personal item onto a plane before. And as I was trying to assert this to the ticket agent, she suddenly raised her voice. I must have been the last straw that day, to a very loud tone, and she shouted, "Ma'am, if you do not comply, I will have you thrown off of this flight." And the entire airport turned around and looked at me like I was some kind of criminal or terrorist or, you know, that person that ends up on social media on a video for misbehaving. And I was so incredibly terrified that someone had implied that I was worthy of being thrown off of a flight that I immediately got out my debit card and paid the $25 and boarded the Frontier Airlines flight, which I will probably never fly Frontier ever again. So that's my worst thing I've ever done. Attempted to argue with a ticket agent at Frontier Airlines and nearly got removed from my flight. Thanks.
So I empathize with you deeply, because if this was before TikTok, no one would have known about these policies. And I think it is super misleading back then.
Yeah.
Before all the social media of it, and like, you know, Spirit gets a horrible rap. Frontier gets a similar rap, right? Because like, you do have to pay for...
They nickel and dime you.
They nickel and dime you at every chance, because their flights are cheap, but they make it pretty uncomfortable for you if you don't throw an extra $100, $200 at the process, right? So I definitely empathize if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Now I feel like there's a whole like social media group many groups dedicated to like calling out Spirit. And
well, it's like a joke on TikTok pretty much, but
yeah, it's like every Spirit Airlines flight that you see on like social media, it's like the set of Jerry Springer or something. Yeah. It's like crazy.
No, but back in the day, especially if she was, obviously she said she was a lot younger, like maybe they didn't even say so on the internet. Yeah. And like, come on, this gate agent was probably like, this is a young girl, she probably is really timid, it's not like she's being a fucking Karen. Like that's messed up. It's hard when people aren't used to flying and they're new flyers. Like it's a very intimidating process. And she's probably like being like, I'm going to stick up for myself today. And I'm going to say the thing.
I didn't know about this policy. Yeah. You know, wasn't advertised properly. And also, no one should be yelling at anyone.
No.
Yeah. And like an unexpected cost, no matter how big or small, when you're like kind of frazzled and like moving, like travel
or when
brain,
you're young and don't
like,
have any
yeah,
money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would be probably flustered. And that's be like, so, wait, what?
And that's so embarrassing. Like the way she was yelled at is like she was being like a disruptive Karen.
Wait, so what did you do wrong here?
She was questioning the policy that she didn't know about. So she didn't do anything. You're not the worst. You are
a little
human.
Angel.
Always question authority.
Always question authority.
You have to question the authority. Otherwise, they'll just take advantage. And if you don't ask, you'll never get.
You know what? You're punk. That's some punk shit.
You're hardcore.
You are punk. We love you. Mm-hmm.
Love you.
All right. Do we have another one or are we good to go?
I think we're good.
Okay.
You didn't write Stanza again, did you?
I'm sorry, guys. I don't have the inspiration I thought I'd have, and I don't want to present you with something lukewarm. Mm.
No, that's okay. We'll get you again.
I'll get you next
can
week.
Can I give you a prompt?
Okay.
Not for a poem, just...
Yeah, just try me.
Just get it, since we're doing misquotes.
Try me. If it's good, maybe we'll go
since we're
it.
Doing misquotes, give me a George misquote.
This is the summer... of porridge.
Yeah, that works.
So.
No, that's all we needed.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, I just wanted a misquote.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought it was going to riff, but not
no.
so much.
No, that's
nothing
it.
Rhymes with porridge. I couldn't do anything with that.
Mm. Scourge.
Engorge.
Porridge.
Engorge. The summer of engorge.
Literally anything that rhymes with George.
Engorged is my least favorite word.
It reminds me of you so much.
Because I always did it for my stanzas.
You've used it so many times.
Because it's a great word. Engorged. It's an inflated
it is,
body part.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Sick.
It
is
like it.
Sick. But
we're
I love
out
it.
Of here.
We'll leave
Bye.
You with that.
Bye.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.